Welcome to the Mayo Clinic podcast. I'm Vivian Williams. Research shows that people who go to doctors who have good bedside manners get more from office visits than those who don't. Joining us is Dr. Judy Sayer, a communication specialist who works with young doctors at Mayo Clinic.
Why don't we start out with why is it even important for you to be working with doctors about doctor-patient communication?
Okay. I think it's so interesting that in the last few years, humanities and especially communication has been being worked in more into residency programs and in medical schools because there's more and more solid research, evidence-based research, that shows that when patients have a good relationship with their doctor, which communication certainly makes that happen, they get well faster. They have a better rapport. They're going to, the doctor certainly gains a greater understanding of the patient's issues in their entire psychosocial environment. And they follow, there's certainly better compliance when patients understand the doctor's communications to them.
That's very interesting because, you know, when I've heard that when someone goes to the doctor, say, for whatever issue and they find out, well, they have cancer, that's all they hear and they don't hear anything else. They hear that word cancer. I would imagine that if a doctor is trained and would know how to handle a situation like that, that patient would actually get the information they need and be able to use it to their benefit. Is that at all part of it?
Oh, that's so true because there's a special skill sets that really help doctors give bad news. And some of it's very specific. You know, plan ahead when you know that you do have a diagnosis that's difficult to give someone and plan for the time to sit with a patient. Plan on the environment. Be sure that the pagers are turned off, cell phones turned off, and you have time to focus on the patient.
And that's hard in this day and age where many doctors are so pressed for time.
It is. Communication goes to that. You know, it's really difficult in that 15-minute office visit. And one of the interesting things that has been learned through research is that if given a chance, most patients will talk for about 2 minutes, about 120 seconds, and give doctors a lot of information. However, if doctors really aren't focusing on letting the patients have that 2 minutes, what happens? Usually patients are interrupted. So it's very helpful for doctors to really listen to what patients are telling them. So much of that is important information that will help with diagnosis.
So tell me some other of the key things that a doctor should be doing or should learn to do in order to make that interaction valuable and a comfortable one for the patient.
Okay, you know, so many doctors are just intuitively good at communication. But communication is a skill like any other that can be learned. One of it is to be able to be a good listener and to give patients specific cues to keep talking, you know, to be able either non-verbally to nod your head, to ask open-ended questions such as, that sounds difficult, tell me more about that. Again, to not interrupt, to lean forward sometimes and do appropriate non-verbal communication. Pat somebody on the forearm and say, could you tell me more about that? Another very important nonverbal something that helps is to sit at the same level as the patient. You know, if you're standing and someone's sitting, it's really hard to have a very open two-way communication. So if at all possible, if the physician can sit and face the patient eye to eye, it really does facilitate good communication. Some of the things are really simple. With the days, all the offices are connected by computers, so many of our medical records are online. It's really tempting to be looking at the computer screen while you're talking with the patient, and that really discourages good communication. So try to have that information at hand, but really face the patient when you're talking.
It's kind of common courtesy in a way, too, not to be trying to do. But I can understand when they're busy, so busy that it's tempting to do two things at once.
One of the things I've heard some physicians who are very good communicators do is say, we need to look at your records and encourage the patient to pull their chair up and look at the computer screen together. And that is a really can be a relationship building exercise.
Now, it's interesting because, you know, the traditional view of the doctor being this person who dictates mm-hmm. what the patient should do, and there's very little peer-ish mm-hmm. communication. Some people do want to be told what to do by their, you know, they want that definitive mm-hmm. statement coming from their doctor, yet it can be so intimidating, so it must be very hard to figure out that balance.
I think one of the things is your patient's demographics are going to tell you a lot. Many older patients do. They were brought up in the biomedical era of medicine. They do expect their physician to tell them exactly what they need to do and not ask quite as many questions. Most people who are younger are really acculturated to more biopsychosocial pattern, where they want to have a more open one-on-one relationship with their physician and really want to have input. So I think knowing your patient is really important. And also the cultural background. Different cultural backgrounds approach the physician-patient relationship differently. So understanding how that cultural background impacts your relationship is important.
For example, give me a comparison between someone like me walking in there and mm-hmm. someone from a very modest, possibly different culture.
Think of the disparities in relationships between a young male physician and a patient who is an older, say a 75 or 80 year old Hispanic grandmother who is coming to see him or her. Even she may have The grandmother may have good communication skills in Spanish, perhaps very haltingly in English, and you had layer on layer of disconnects in the possibilities. You have gender issues, you have certainly cultural issues, and you have aging issues. And older patients also just have basic barriers. They may have hearing problems. They have some older patients may have problems with remembering information. So it really takes special attention, and you need to think about time and allowing time to really get the message across in a very simple way with the older patients.
Now, I'm going to kind of go back to the beginning again, because I'm interested in mm-hmm. the evidence-based research that okay. says that patients actually get better. I mean, explore that a little bit more with me. Why? Tell me some of the benefits of good communication between doctor and patient.
Patients who feel like they have an opportunity to really have an open communication with their physician, first of all, are just going to be more compliant with their instructions. They're going to understand their pharmaceutical regimen better. They're going to understand maybe lifestyle issues, what they need to do better. They're going to be just, in general, more satisfied with their physician's relationship with them. Patients who have good communication with their physicians tend to be far less likely to be involved in malpractice suits because of the even if a physician makes a mistake, if the patient has had a good relationship built on open, honest communication, they're far less likely to get involved in a situation where their malpractice is a part of it. Patients who have good relationships with their physicians also, and I think there's evidence that shows this, are less likely to be calling frequently to the office. It's more cost effective and it's better in time management if you can really communicate to the patient what the patient needs to know for their self-care. You're going to have less likely a chance of the patient calling in a week and says, I don't understand when I should be taking this medicine and so forth. So in very many ways, I think physicians are finding that the time invested in communication training really is time well spent and time that they get back in their relationships with the physician, with the patient.
Well, I imagine that if the patient's getting more out of the doctor visit, they're getting better care and they may have better outcomes, and the doctor therefore would have a better reputation and actually be a better doctor because he's getting better outcomes, he or she's getting better outcomes themselves.
Right. I think when patients do have that good communication, their outcomes are better. And they are certainly going to, like I said, be more compliant. They are going to understand better what they need to do to get well faster. And they're certainly going to be, to report that they're just more satisfied with their health care.
Wonderful. Now, again, we talked about, eye contact, not sitting sitting at the same level, not looking at the computer, perhaps touching the patient if it's appropriate, asking questions, listening.
Most of the things that make us good communicators are the things that are also effective in our interactions with everyone. The nonverbal behaviors, like eye contact, like sitting at the same level. For example, not looking at your watch. You know, having an understanding. One of the other things is having a smooth way to close a visit with a patient. And with physicians having such time pressure, that's an important skill, to be able to get to closure in a sense that the patient feels like they have been able to say everything they need to say, and the physician feels like that they're not being pressured to stay in there and prolong that office visit unnecessarily.
How are physicians responding to, you know, your help with them as far as teaching them how to communicate?
Oh, I think most, I tend to work with residents, and residents are very interested in some of these specific skills. Mayo also has a very good program with continuing medical education for physicians who have been in practice some time, because some of these skills are really worthwhile to go back and revisit and say, what can I do that perhaps that I'm not incorporating now? But with the different residencies, and different residencies have different requirements. Primary care physicians, it's incredibly important that you develop these skills, because you're going to be interacting with so many patients in that 15-minute to 20-minute office visit. Physicians who are going into oncology, for example, really need to have training in how do you deliver bad news? How do you work with patients? And neurology residents are another example that I've worked with. And neurology residents really need to be able to read very subtle patient symptoms that can come out of interactions. So every specialty has some specific needs in communication.
You're also teaching at a university in addition
yes.
to here at Mayo with the residents.
Yes.
Tell me what you do.
I teach at the University of North Florida, and I teach my undergraduates there, and my primary course is in health communication. And that includes both writing, media work, and also in situations like hospital public relations and so forth for undergraduates who really want to specialize in health information. At Mayo, I do mostly work with residents in training. I'm also doing some research with one of our residents on palliative communication. That's a whole process of communication in end-of-life situations, and delivering bad news is a part of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, interesting.
Now, one of the things I'd like to mention, too, is the importance of evaluation, because residents especially are evaluated in every skill set. And I think it really is helpful for residents to have feedback on how well they're doing, and if there's something that can really enhance their communication skills, it's really good to have that feedback early. So one of the things that we do when we plan workshops is also plan opportunities and possibilities of doing evaluation into them.
Okay, and so what happens if you're in a relationship with a physician that you hate? Or don't hate the physician, but you're just uncomfortable with it, you're not getting the communication you hope. Would you recommend, I know it's hard in the age of HMOs and you're limited to who to see, but would you recommend people look, shop around or what?
One of my favorite words, and this is especially true with patients or physicians, is the word metacommunication. And that just means sometimes in a relationship, it's important to stop and say, I think we're having a failure to communicate. A patient could say to a physician, I'm really trying to tell you something that's important to me, and I feel like you're continually interrupting me. Do you mind if I get this information out? I really think it's important for you to know this. And most of us need to do that from time to time. We need to do that in relationships with physicians, and we need to do that with family members. We need to say, hey, we're having a problem in communication. Let's talk about it.
Okay, that's very good advice, because I think people are intimidated.
Yeah.
Like they
yeah.
walk in and, what do I do with this physician?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say?
And the more disparities between the patient and the physician, the more levels of disparities, the more likely that those kinds of miscommunication opportunities are going to occur. So if you have a much older patient, patient who perhaps has some hearing difficulties, patient who was acculturated in an entirely different era with a young physician, they may really have some problems with communication. And so first of all, for physicians, just to be aware that that can happen really helps them to look for those places where, you know, we're just not connecting here. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, I think this is just a great thing. And mm-hmm. I think the public is helping to push it along too, because they're more demanding as far as wanting to communicate, because that's the way the culture is now as opposed to before.
Well, the media really is running far more stories on the importance of communication at every level, from major newspapers. The New York Times will have articles on this once a month. You will see stories on television about the importance of communicating with your doctor. So patients are coming in at a far more sophisticated level, and they have higher expectations. And I do think that physicians are certainly getting more communication training at all levels, both in medical school and their residencies, and even after in CME training.
Right, in the information age,
yes.
Patients are really coming in with
yes.
a lot of information and wanting to know a lot of information,
well,
too.
Patients are coming in, you know, as internet specialists. They have researched, many patients have researched their symptoms. They're coming in with diagnoses, and they are coming in with information from pharmaceutical companies on, you know, what drugs they think are appropriate. So it's a more complex communication situation for doctors and for patients.
Thank you for joining us. For more information on the various podcasts available from Mayo Clinic, go to mayoclinic.org/podcasts.